This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
40 years of biblical archaeology will be celebrated on February 15th, 2023, as I look back and celebrate four decades of reporting on the work by archaeologists and Bible scholars who have helped us better understand the Bible and the biblical world. At the end of today's program, I'll invite you to join the celebration and tell you how you can do that. There have been a lot of exciting discoveries in biblical archaeology over those 40 years that we have reported on this program. But there was also a time, a little over 25 years ago, when the future of biblical archaeology looked dismal, at least in the view of one of America's top archaeologists working in Israel. William Deaver was facing the shutdown of his program at the University of Arizona, one of the top programs in the country. At the same time, the National Endowment for the Humanities was cutting back on research proposals for archaeological projects. A lot of the money being raised for excavations in Israel is being raised in the U.S. by Israelis, and American churches seem less and less interested in supporting archaeological research. So Deaver wrote an article for Biblical Archaeology Review in 1995 called The Demise of a Discipline. My co-host, Professor Keith Scoville, and I called him up to talk about it. This is a portion of that conversation back in 1995.
Unless we do something, it's clear that the discipline will die within the next generation, if not sooner.
There has to be some place or some places in our country where young men and women who are so interested can pursue graduate studies in archaeology.
That's right. There will be a place for many part-time workers and many amateurs, lovers of the discipline, and I didn't disparage those people in any way, but my point was a discipline to survive has to have a core of professional, full-time, highly trained practitioners, and unless universities and seminaries are willing to support that kind of research, it will cease. It seems just that simple to me. And then those who love archaeology will have little to love. They can only read at a great distance about the discoveries made by Israelis in Israel. We will lack a generation of scholars who can take those discoveries and relate them to the concerns of American biblical scholarship and American religious life. And I care very much, as you do, about those things, and I want to see them continue. And I feel, as I know you do, that archaeology is potentially the greatest tool we've ever discovered for illuminating the Bible. And to see that tool fall into others' hands when we first invented it and almost perfected it seems a great tragedy to American religious and cultural life. We trained a new generation of younger people, much better, in fact, than my generation. But unless we place them, it will all be lost. And then we will go back to the old-fashioned discussions in which biblical scholars sort of dabble in archaeology. And this produced a really disastrous results for biblical studies. I think most of us know that. We can't go backward. No discipline can turn the clock back. We need to go forward.
Is it possible that at one point the pendulum was too far weighted towards proving the Bible, and now perhaps it's gone a little bit too far, separating itself from the Bible?
Well, it has, and many seminaries don't believe that archaeology is any longer relevant. They simply ignore it. Many of the Israelis are not at all interested in the questions of interpreting the Bible. None of the Israeli archaeologists is religious in any sense. They don't really understand how important the Bible is in American cultural life. For them, it's a very different document, sort of the constitution of the country. And most Israelis, frankly, are bored by our discussions of archaeology and Bible. And this is what people don't understand. We can't leave it to the Israelis to do biblical archaeology for us. They don't even know what we're talking about, and they're not interested. They're doing the archaeology of the history of their country. If we want archaeology and Bible to stay in conversation, we've got to carry on that dialogue.
I ask him to review what Americans contributed to the field of biblical archaeology.
Well, I think it's fair to say that we invented it. Yeah, I've argued that biblical archaeology, as most of us think of it, is a peculiarly American invention. And it began certainly with the work of Edward Robinson back in the 1830s, but especially in the work of Albright, William Foxwell Albright, the great American Orientalist, in the 20s and 30s and 40s, the foundations of the discipline were laid. And then one thinks of his protégés, particularly Ernest Wright at Harvard, my own teacher, and Nelson Glick, the great Jewish rabbi and archaeologist. And through a generation of younger scholars, we've had a long and brilliant tradition in this field for well over 100 years. The Israelis came along relatively later, only in the 50s, after the establishment of the state, and based themselves on Albright and the former generation, and now they're carrying on that work, but there's room for us to carry it on as well.
Many people like yourself who were trained by these early great figures in archaeology, and now this generation is coming to an end.
Right. I can't tell you how sad it is to have earnest young people come here to visit, gifted, determined people with field experience in Israel, desperate for an education in this field, and I have to turn them away. Just this week, I've spent hours talking with two fine young people, telling them, in essence, there is no future in this field. Find something else to do with your life. We've never had better younger people willing to come into this field and willing to sacrifice. And there are opportunities for us in Israel. The Israelis would welcome our continuing. We have a vibrant American school in Jerusalem directed by one of my students. But unless we can create jobs for these young people, there is no future. And my own university, of course, has closed my program, and that was what prompted me to write the story. It's a tragic story.
For those who've just tuned in, we are replaying a 1995 conversation with archaeologist William Deaver, one of the most eminent American archaeologists in the field of biblical archaeology. At that particular point in time, it appeared as though financial resources were dwindling and biblical archaeology in America had a dismal future. As the conversation continued, we eventually touched on another scandalous aspect of biblical archaeology, the lack of final publication of many excavations.
It is a fact that a few individuals willing to raise some money to endow some chairs could save our discipline and ensure its future in perpetuity.
As you've confronted this situation in the last few years, has your thinking changed at all about the appropriate relationship between field archaeology and the Bible?
No, not at all. I started 30 years ago talking about the importance of archaeology for biblical studies and the need for a dialogue. I'm often accused of being distracted by field work, but people don't notice that I really haven't been excavating much in the last 15 years. And instead, I've been writing synthetic and the summary kinds of statements. I write much more for biblical scholars than I do for my archaeological colleagues. I never was obsessed with field work. For me, it was a means to an end, and the end is the intellectual dialogue. And for many of us, one of the main aspects of the dialogue has to do with biblical studies. So I don't think I've changed my basic positions at all in the last 30 years. I've seen some of these positions triumph, and others have not.
You mentioned publications, Bill. My concern is that the lack of publications, the final publications for excavations is something that's a real problem.
It is, and it's one of the reasons for the decline of biblical archaeology. That generation of part-time workers just simply couldn't find the time or the resources to publish the results of their summer digs. But the next generation has not done a lot better. One of the complaints that biblical scholars make to me constantly is, well, if you people would publish this stuff, we could use it. And I'm very sensitive to that. The Israelis, at least, are doing better about publishing, and nowadays they're publishing almost everything in English. Most of the major directors of digs, including my own teachers, have died with their digs unpublished. And I've been working at that, too. We've published 7 large Gezer volumes. We have one more to go. We do have to work at that problem, and it gives us the appearance of being a sloppy discipline when we don't publish our research.
So would you say that in addition to these individuals with deep pockets that we've sort of made reference to, another heavy mantle of responsibility should be placed on the religious institutions, seminaries?
I certainly think so. I think any theological seminary of any size with any resources ought to have on its staff of biblical scholars one who specializes in archaeology. That person may also teach Hebrew or Bible, but that person ought to have some training, some field experience, and some record of publication. It seems to me that unless seminaries are willing to take up the burden of training biblical scholars in that way, no one else will. Certainly state universities are not going to be interested in training ministers or rabbis. The seminaries will have to take that as part of their responsibility, and seminaries do have the resources to do all kinds of faddish things. They ought also to be doing some archaeology.
Bill, I was impressed by what you said about the Matabo Plains Project and the Seventh-day Adventists. Do they provide perhaps a model that consortia could enter into?
They do. I have turned out one PhD who's back now teaching at one of their schools and curating a museum and directing an excavation, and I have 2 more of their students in residence here, 2 of my very best students. And I've always commended these people, although I would disagree with them violently about theological issues, but I respect their the fact that they love the Bible, they take it seriously, and they're willing to invest. And I know that these Seventh-day Adventist students that I have now will get jobs because their church circle takes care of their young people. They recruit them, they send them to me or elsewhere for advanced degrees, they bring them back, they place them, they support them, and that's why I hold this group up as a model. Now, if those people of modest means in a small, rather peripheral denomination can do that, other mainstream Protestant denominations could do it too.
And they also have, in my estimation, done a pretty good job of publishing.
They've done an excellent job. They have the best record of any of us. They've published a fine series of volumes from Hesban and are now working on the Umeri Project. These people have done everything and done it right. They are the best example of the new archaeology at work. And so for those who say to me, well, you can't wed archaeology and biblical studies any longer, I point out this group. They're doing it, and they could serve as a model.
If your call goes unheeded, put yourself a quarter century down the road, 25 years from now, what's going to be the impact on biblical scholarship and on the life of American Christianity?
Well, that, of course, is the burning issue. I think biblical studies will suffer greatly because the Bible will still be studied as a kind of an isolated phenomenon without any relation either to past or present. At the same time, American religious life will suffer if it's not grounded in an understanding of the Bible. The results will be absolutely tragic. We shouldn't underestimate the role that the Bible has played in American life because people have been informed about the Bible and more informed by archaeology. And for all that to come to an end just at the point where it's really getting interesting is something I hope I don't live to see it. It would be so sad because the potential of archaeology for helping us to understand the Bible, changing our views about the Bible, is just enormous, and it hasn't been tapped at all. But if we don't do the job in this country, we can't just import somebody else's results. We can't look to the Europeans to do it. They've already lost out. And the Bible will become increasingly marginalized in American life without the appeal of archaeology.
Well, I agree with you on that, Bill. I think that, and I say to groups to whom I speak, that we have the Bible, and that's a given. The only other source of information we can have from that ancient past is what archaeology can recover.
That's right. The only new facts about the Bible in the biblical world are coming out of the ground.
Well, now we are more than 25 years down the road, and biblical archaeology has survived and thrived, much to the relief of our guest in this 1995 interview, Professor William Deaver. Today, American archaeologists are working alongside Israeli colleagues in the institutional excavations that are scheduled each year in Israel. Major discoveries are being made, as we report each week on this program and in the pages of our quarterly Biblical Archaeology News magazine, Artifacts. Coming up in February, we will be celebrating the 40-year anniversary of this Book in the Spade radio program. This is a significant biblical milestone, and we are inviting you to join us in the celebration, which will be a live recording on the Zoom webinar platform. Our special guest will be Scott Stripling, president of the Near East Archaeological Society, and we will welcome your questions as a part of the program. We'll also have some biblical archaeology prizes to give away. If you'd like to receive an invitation to be a part of this anniversary celebration, send us an email. The address is radioscribe@gmail.com. That's radioscribe@gmail.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Listen again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book in the Spade.
The Book in the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.